Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to a very special edition of Strategies of Success Radio. You know, we talk about success, and there's a lot of folks that go out there and actually do it. And I mean really do it. They understand the fact that their goals work hand in hand with the goals of their teammates, with the folks that they are working with. And in this case, with the folks that they are fighting with. You know, we're going to be talking to a guest today, Patrick Donahue, who has served our military and served our military well. What we're going to be discussing, though, is some of the issues that they have when they come back, and they come back and join the civilian life again. Now, I've never been in the military, so some of my questions, perhaps are going to be naive, but perhaps they're going to be very representative of questions that you may have and our perceptions of the whole thing. See, the way I see it is that if you've served in the military, you've learned a lot of skills that certainly, absolutely can be translated over here. I mean, look, how many of us as business people, we get distracted with the little day-to-day things? Well, look, if you're serving and you're serving in a military group and there are certain things going on, those distractions, you don't need them. You just push them all aside. You're focusing solely on the goal, on the most important goal. You know, when I've gone out and interviewed companies that were looking to hire people, the biggest thing that they were looking for wasn't a skill set. It was an attitude. And that attitude, I think, is something that our military men and women bring back and certainly can be fully utilized in civilian life, in our business worlds. But making that transition sometimes can be a challenge. And that is what Patrick is all about, you know, helping veterans through the challenges that they have because he understands it. And that's where Project Nine Line came to be, continues to be, and is one heck of a resource. And the different programs that are going on are just phenomenal stuff and things that we can all get ourselves involved with. And funny is that at one point in time, I was working with, was one of the guys on a comedy stage, you know, Brian Kitte. And you know, Patrick, a comedy workshop is also something that you do. So this is serious issues, but there's a lot of fun ways of dealing with it and dealing with different scenarios. So Patrick Donahue, thank you so much for doing this, for joining us, and for serving in the military.
Oh, thank you so much. That's very, very nice of you. Say those things, and I'm humbled by it. And you really outlined a lot of the things that we are trying to overcome. You summed it up really well, and I appreciate that. It sounds like you have a pretty good understanding of what it takes to use the skills that you have to accomplish your goals. And I think that translating that to a new civilian skill set. It's difficult for some, but it's something that is achievable. And then once achieved, we come back bigger, faster, and stronger. It's just figuring out how to turn that over, you know. So that's really cool. Thank you for saying all those ideas.
But with the businesses that I've interviewed over the years, some 5 years doing this, and then also we're talking to a couple of friends I have. One's a Navy SEAL, Keith Godwin. Who does comedy also, Comedy to Go, and his own recovery comic, which is something he's now doing, also former Marine, or I should say, once you're a Marine, you're always a Marine. But but it's also, with listening to them, seeing what they do, and then speaking to the businesses, it just, they're very focused. They're very focused as to what their goals are right now, but that does seem to be the biggest challenge. A lot of salespeople have. They get caught up with things, or they find little things that get in the way that they become bigger things that they really shouldn't be. You know, we make mountains out of molehills, but I mean, you certainly can. You're right. I mean, when you're going through the and serving in the military, isn't it a matter of okay, this is the objective? How do we get that done?
Yeah,
and that's a very important skill set. I don't care what you're doing. That's something that you certainly bring to the table.
And the most efficient way possible. You know, that's what we're talking. We got to work with what we got. And sometimes we don't have this, especially overseas. You know, we have what we have, and we got to make it work as efficient as possible. That's people and their equipment to accomplish sometimes what seem like impossible goals, So, yeah, it does translate over. But then we're human, too. so everybody makes mountains out of molehills. You know what I mean? Like it's hard not to sometimes. You know. So that's a commonality, and it's just funny that we still can do that even though we've accomplished all this other stuff. You know. So.
Right. Yeah. You know, he was an example of being prepared. So Don Mann, he's a Navy SEAL. He went to climb Everest. So he did the program with me the day before he was leaving, the day before. So I was like, oh, you know, thank you for taking the time, blah, 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 you know, and that kind of thing. And I was like, I'm sure you still need to, you know, do your final packing. He goes, oh, no. I've been done for a week, and I've packed twice. I've packed and unpacked. That is a skill set. You know, that he didn't learn by doing adventure races. Man, that was the always be prepared, you know, prepare for everything. But you deal with whatever, you know, the situation is at hand. And I found that to be, you know, kind of interesting. So the situation that you're dealing with and the skills that you've learned in the military, even the name, Project Nine Line, I mean, that's a story in and of itself. So can you give us a little background as to your own personal story and where Project Nine Line came to be?
All right, cool. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, in 2008, I was a stockbroker, and I wasn't happy. That was like my dream job, too. And I didn't go for it because I started a business, like in my late teens, and it ended up being pretty successful. And then I was a father, a husband, and, you know, a homeowner, a college graduate, when I joined. And then when I got home, I had a really tough time, like indescribably hard to reconnect with people I love and society as a whole. And so I had to seek help. I was like the last one to know that I needed help, obviously, because I didn't want it to be it, and I thought I was, you know, like many different things. So some time went on, and I got out in 2012. And so then I had to seek help, and I did, and there is a lot of good help out there. And while I was receiving treatment in the VA hospital in Northport, you know, I saw some things that were helping me, and my life was, like, changing. And I didn't realize how significant it was at the time, but I was doing a lot of different things that I had never done before and really trying to communicate with other humans, which is something that I wasn't really too good at for a while there. And sure enough, I kind of really wanted to continue to help and serve, because some of the, you know, the bigger problems for many of us happen when we get back. You know, I'm fortunate enough, I came home, I got all my limbs, I'm alive. Like, that's a blessing. But for me, I was like, why me? Why did I make it? And so a lot of us go through that. And while I was overseas, I had the coolest job. Like, I was in a safe environment. Well, not, you know, that's a subjective statement. But I ended up being my colonel's assistant. He was in charge of you know, over 3,000 of us that left, and then more people attached to us when they got there. So, and I was responsible to keep him happy and do the things that he needed to get done, like, at a minute's notice. So I had a lot cool job, and then I was around the greatest leaders in the world, and I didn't realize how much that was really going to influence my life and affect me. And I'm just seeing the benefits of it all now as the time progressed. But I had such a tough time reacclimating. All I could think of was, what about like an 18-year-old kid that joined when he was 18? He's now 22. He's 4 years behind his peers. I had always I was a accomplished. I was up and down. I wasn't anybody. Successful the way I see it or anything, but I was okay. And so I wanted to help. And the things that were helping me, I wanted to bring out to others. I wrote a poem, and it, like, changed my life. I was meditating. It really helped me out a lot. And then I got into a bunch of other activities that I'm now doing. And that's kind of really how I stay well. I just do a lot of cool stuff. I'll tell you, I just came from weighing in. I'm in a martial arts tournament today. I just started training in martial arts this year, and we do it like mixed martial arts. This is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I'm not even that well trained in it, but I wanted to compete in a tournament. So I'm representing our best MMA program today as the first. Art at, you know, Team Best MMA. And I wrote Best MMA as a paper in school last year, as a grad school paper. And I came to life real fast, and we've been training, and I'm going to compete. So I know I jumped a little all over the place there. But
no, you're an overachiever.
I'm really excited. I'm literally just driving home from weighing in, going home to rest for a few hours to my bouts later today. So that's why I had to get that out. But go ahead.
I was going to say, but this is what I mean, man. You've got that drive. And this is what's so important. You know, it's like the same thing with the Navy SEAL. It's like, oh, yeah, I could do it. You know, I'm leaving. And I think it was like 10 hours later that he was leaving. So you're weighing in the middle of a tournament. It's like, sure, I could do that. I could fit it in. But that,
yeah.
You know, I mean,
that's a unique
personality.
It's a blessing, really. You know, like, because I'm just, it went from why me, my life, to pretty quickly. And this is just another example of something I always maybe thought about doing, and I'm out there doing it. And then, others can do the same thing with whatever they want, you know? Like, as many veterans are maybe like I was, and how I could be, again, if I don't keep up on it and stay vigilant in terms of my recovery process, you know? And Suffolk County, where we live, has the second largest veteran population in the nation. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
San Diego.
I'm involved
Diego
with the town
County.
Of Brookhaven.
Yeah, that's the largest town in the state. I bet you Brookhaven has the largest veteran population in the nation. I can almost guarantee
it does.
That. I always want to look it up, right? Because they're the biggest town in the state, in the county, with the second largest veteran population. You know, like, I couldn't see there being a town with more veterans in America. Fact. And Brookhaven treats their veterans nicely. You know, they really they go above and beyond. So that's pretty cool. So I know you can help others.
Right.
Go ahead. I was trying to go back to...
No, you wanted to help others. I think it's great because the need is here. What I was going to say is, I had no idea... And it's a perception problem, but I had no idea there were so many veterans in our area. And for those that are listening outside of the Long Island area, the town of Brookhaven is within the Suffolk County, and Long Island splits Nassau and Suffolk County. But we don't have any true military bases in what we perceive. We have the veterans, the Northport Veterans Association, which is a great facility, but there's not a military base per se, where there's thousands of men and women that are training facilities and stuff like that. We have a share of things, but nothing huge like that. So it's
surprise. There's one little unit that's a reserve and National Guard unit. They meet there once a month to train, and that's, some of them are there full time, but not many. We don't have a base at all. San Diego has like a handful of bases, you know, like so they are people that stay there. Pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. So there's a population of different veterans, you know, that are here. You know, that's the case. So what you're doing and being involved in so many different areas, you know, I think is great. But you know, let me ask you on the, you know, finding support and keeping yourself in the midst of everything. But by starting and doing and being involved, you know, with Project Nine Line, isn't that in and of itself its own support system? And I'm talking just for you, because you're surrounding yourself with people that are, right?
It's helped me the most since day one. And then all these other things that I'm now participating in that I didn't necessarily see. Like, I didn't know I'd be doing martial arts. I didn't know I'd be able to create that, you know? Like, so there's other benefits. But it's helped me from day one for being out there. Helping others is like... the ultimate form of gratitude, and I get so much more out of it, and so it pays. I get a lot since day one. You know, I literally went to my mom's house on Thanksgiving dinner 2013, and I was in the hospital still. I was in a unit there, but I could leave and come and go, obviously. And I told her, I made like a PowerPoint and a business plan, and I presented it to her. I didn't have any money. And she gave me a few $100. I literally bought chocolate and melted it down and went to, like, Valentine's Day fairs and then threw an event at the same time to raise the startup funds for Project 9, like, because it's not really cheap to even start a nonprofit. Nothing's cheap, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I went
yep.
to Valentine's Day fairs. I sold chocolate covered pretzels and chocolate heart lollipops, like our logo, and that's how I raised the startup funds.
Yeah. So you become a businessman, and you're right, it's not. You know, we tend to think some things are easy. They're not easy, but you got to work through those things. So you have the heart and desire to do this project, you know, to help the veterans, and that certainly is a driving force, you know, behind the whole thing. So you also got a number of other people that are helping, and you got a number of different,
that's the thing.
Different programs, too.
I sat there at Thanksgiving dinner and I did that, but since then it's everyone else, it's local community members, other veterans, people that just care, that have really made this what it is, you know, like, so that is the story. It's how many people really do help and contribute and make this, you know, possible, because literally we've helped almost over 2,400 veterans in like 2.5 years, and we have over 10 active programs that are, you know, therapeutic, art-based, open communication lines, like, or get in shape, you know, like arts and activities, you know. That great help that exists, that's awesome, but so not everyone's at that point or needs to be. So getting involved, staying close, learning some skills, maybe fighting in a tournament, that's how you get better and, you know, connect again. And then you do new stuff. You know, I'm telling jokes on, I'm getting paid to tell jokes. I've been doing that for free for 34 years, like an idiot, right? And the traumatic experiences I went through really affected me. And when I use those to, like, make fun of my kids on stage, you know, it is a big outlet and relief, you know? It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it definitely is fun getting on stage.
None of that's possible without a lot of great people. That really do a lot to keep this going. Almost everyone's a volunteer Project 9, even me. I don't get paid, you know, and I don't mind. You know, I'm able to survive right now with my GI Bill. So I'm blessed to be able to do this right now, you know, so it's pretty cool. And I became a real estate agent, and I'm going to take a leave of absence. That was like 3 years ago. I still have my license, but I haven't really pursued any clients or tried to work any deal. I tried one deal, it kind of didn't work out. That's it.
Right.
Oh.
But you'll certainly find it, and with all the different people that you interact with, you know, as part of Project 9 Line, that'll come. I am sure that, you know, that will come, because again, you have that right attitude, you have the right drive, and the opportunity will certainly present itself. And you'll see it. And I think that's something that, hey, maybe that's something that you picked up on the other side of it too, is that you'll see these opportunities as they appear, because you pay attention to different details along the way.
Yeah.
And that truly is important. So let me ask a question, and maybe this will throw this into the naive category. You know, we think military, you know, it's all rough and tumble, you know, and that kind of thing. You know, so I get the mixed martial arts. I get some of the physical stuff, and then you also mentioned about, you know, the art program, you know, writing a poem, things like that. Is there a program, let's say, that's more effective as a general term, that, you know, where physical is better than the softer skill sets, you know, more the emotional things or more the creative? Let's put it that way.
Well, I'm not really quite sure if you can make a distinction, because, like, there's no cookie-cutter approach to, like, reconnecting with who you were or who you want to be, and reconnecting with the people that, you know, you feel so distant from. These are real true emotions that many of us feel. So however you want to do that, and the more options and opportunities there are to pursue whatever that is, which you may not even know what it is yet, or maybe you did 30 years ago, like me today. I wanted to do this for like 30 years. And now I have the opportunity, and that's how you heal, you know. That's how you continue to move forward and push forward. And then once you're doing things you love, like you said, you'll be more aware to see the things, the opportunities that'll pop up, so you can keep on that track. You know, that's like the American dream. Like, what is the American dream today? Like, it's not a white picket fence anymore. It's whatever the heck you want it to be. You know, wherever your happiness is, however you can find that, if we can help, then that's awesome. That's what we're doing.
Right. And, of course, it's building the confidence to go for that. And where does that confidence
yeah.
come from? Well, it comes from yep. actually taking the first step. I mean, this is so much of what we talk about. You know, if I speak to a business coach, right, you know, it's all the
yeah.
– sometimes I feel like it's a whole bunch of theory that we talk about. All right, well, in order to achieve your goals, you need to write them down. Okay, you know, that certainly makes sense. You did that. You wrote the business plan. Okay, and that's
mm-hmm.
a beautiful thing, but it's only a piece of paper. No,
yeah.
unless you start acting on it and start doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing. You're actually doing it, and including a lot of people that want to help out in a variety of different ways. But these programs are the same kind of thing. You know, you got the arts and crafts. You got riding a horse. I mean, you know, you ride a horse. What are you going to learn
yeah.
by riding a horse? Well, you know what? I actually spoke with someone who uses horses in order to train business people. And I was blown away by some of the
wow.
things that they could teach you. That was unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable.
That is.
I learned communication skills. How's that one?
Yeah, that's awesome. I never heard of that.
Oh yeah, we shouldn't veer away from it. But I was out in Arizona. I met somebody online, and I was out there and had an opportunity to go meet with her. And I was like, how in the world do you use horses as part
yeah.
of a business training program? And it all had to do with communicating with the horse, you know, and
yeah.
it was more than interesting. It was actually fascinating. But the fact that you have the program, what is it, in Middle
yeah.
Island at one of the facilities?
Which one is that?
Where you have
the
horse riding.
I'm sorry. Yeah. It's at Saddle Rock Ranch. We're partnering with Great Strides, who utilizes their facilities, and they actually teach therapeutic riding lessons to some mentally and physically disabled people. So adding on a veteran program, the same benefits come in communication, just wellness with nature, you know, reconnecting with connecting with another being even, right? Because I've been in a place where that was impossible. That seemed impossible not so long ago for me. So I can relate to that. And I even brought, you know, me and my daughter went for a while. It turns out she was allergic to horses, so we haven't gone in a while. So we even participated in that. And even just the daughter and daddy time, that's a gift too. You know, I don't really get to do that as much. And we got to go to something she loved. And I kind of just sat there and watched her ride a horse. She loved it. You know, so we,
mm-hmm.
I participated in that too. Pretty cool.
Right. Yeah, and all those things really help. You know, with you and the horse,
mm-hmm.
you're communicating with another being, and
yeah.
it's non-judgmental, you know, so whatever you are going to, the horse has no idea, but it's who you connect. And I think that's a beautiful thing, actually, with your daughter, you know, because now that
yeah.
also gives you something else that you have that you have in common with her, you
yeah.
know, by doing that. It's a shame that she's allergic to the horses, so...
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to get her on the comedy stage.
My other daughter does comedy. My older daughter, she's 13.
Oh, there you go.
She does comedy. She's been coming open mics. She's the funniest of anyone I know, by far. She makes fun of me mostly.
I was going to ask. So since you make fun of your kids, as your kids get older, they're going to start making fun of you. So.
They already do.
Yeah.
She makes fun of my jokes
skills.
And makes fun of me. Yeah. We're working on an act together. We're working on an act together. Completely PowerPoint pictures. She's been taking pictures of me, like, because I kind of act weird and get crazy a little bit. Not, you know, like, she always gets me making funny faces, like, through the mirrors and stuff in the car. Like, she's got to make a PowerPoint and just kind of rip on me about what was going on at that minute. You know, like, funny stuff. She's really funny.
Good.
Yeah.
That's great.
And you talked about...
Hey, you learn how to laugh, too.
Yeah, and I got to point out something. That business training, the horseback, to open communication up. And that's really what all of our stuff's trying to do. That's the key. That's the key to everything. You know, like healing,
yeah.
getting a good job, you know, improving whatever you're doing. That's the key.
That is. You know, it's communication skills are everything. Certainly more, you know, my focus of life. But communication skills are everything. And learning how to communicate with yourself is probably the most important communication
yep.
skill to have. and then you could start interacting with others. But you got to find out who you are, the confidence to go and achieve whatever it is that you are after, but also understanding what it is that you are truly after. And it certainly seems like you have done that with the Project Nineline organization. So, Patrick, I think it's an interesting story in and of itself, and we only have a couple of minutes left. Project Nineline, where does that name come from?
Well, in combat, when you need help, when you have a fall in combat, when someone got hurt, the way you call for help is called a nine-line medevac, and it's nine lines of info. So it's very easy to communicate the message on the guy, so he can send a helicopter ASAP, you know? So it's line one, boom, line two, line three, and it's different information that they need to know to fly into a hostile territory or not, you know? So it's how you save the life of your brother or sister. And that's us, you know, we can stop that there. You know, the VA study from 2012 says 22 veterans commit suicide a day. It's not even accurate because not even all the states have reported back. I've heard it's like way higher, but I don't know if it's a bit higher than that. It's very sad. And that's what motivates me. You know, we're saving lives. Pretty cool. And we do yoga, Reiki. I think I sent you the list of all the programs we have right now. We just took over a building in Islip. We just took over a whole building, like almost a
good
BFW hall, but it's a DAV hall. We're renovating it now. Home Depot is donating the materials and volunteers to fix this building up for us. We took the bar out. It's not coming back. We put a stage in upstairs. It'll be a wellness room and an office. It's really coming along quite nice. And that's a blessing. It's 10 houses from mine, so it's very convenient for me. It's a client of mine years ago when I landscaped. I had a lot of commercial accounts with my business, and now we took over the building with the DAV and Project Nineline are in the same place. Pretty cool. It had been vacant for 5 years, the building, so it's amazing that we got it and fixing it up. And then we got Vetstock coming up soon. It's the world's only veterans music festival where the veterans are the performers. They're communicating from the stage through their art. And last year we had 4 stages. We had 28 veteran acts and a few other acts as well, all genres of music, all day, all night. This year it's a little different. It's at the Emporium. It's the same events. Many, many veteran acts are already signed on, and we have over a dozen already with more to come. And it's at the Emporium October 15th at 3 p.m. And then we're just really fortunate to keep partnering with others and offering new innovative programs to ultimately open communication lines, whether it's through physical or emotional, like you were saying. It doesn't matter which way you get to the place we're trying to get to, just come, you know.
No, absolutely. You know, and by renovating the facility, that also creates all kinds of other opportunities for people, you know, that were in the construction business or were in the landscaping business. You know, they're able to go down there, you know, and help out and, hey, show off what they can do. And with Home Depot coming down, maybe you get a couple of other builders, and I'm sure you'll have people down there, you know, that have their own businesses in order to, you know, fully renovate everything. It creates opportunities for people. All these things do. I think what you're doing here, Patrick, is just fantastic. It's incredibly fantastic. So, man, keep going with it. It's all good.
Cool, man. I appreciate you having me on today. Thanks for taking your time. And we just keep fighting. You know, one team, one fight. That's my signature on my email. So one team, one fight. So
right.
We're all on the same team. Pretty cool.
Absolutely. And the more we can get involved, you know, in Project Nineline and helping everybody, it helps everybody too. Contact information, your website, and your website has got everything on there, so I guess that would be the best place to go.
Yeah, it's a little bit outdated. We're working on updating it, but yeah, it's still pretty relevant though. So yes, that'd be a great spot. Project, the number 9, line, line.org. And you can email
and you're
us through
also
there.
On Facebook.
Oh yeah, we're on all the social media. You know, we try to stay current with that. That's a job in itself.
Yeah, you know, maybe it's a career for somebody too. Like I said,
yeah,
everything's
an
opportunity.
That's right,
without a doubt. Hey,
sure
Patrick, again, thanks so much. Thank you for serving. Thank you for all of your friends that have served too. We're able to do what we can do today because of what you have done yesterday and currently doing. And for you, you're presenting opportunities for folks to help through that transition and then to help others through their own transition back to civilian life, back to finding out what their skills are that they bring to the table and what they can do. And truly, I believe that anything is possible as long as you have that confidence to go out there and do it. And that's what you're providing. You're providing that confidence to people to go out and find themselves, find what they want, and to actually make it happen. So thank you very, very much for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate those kind words. And, yeah, I'm about to go compete against guys 10 times more experienced and probably a bit bigger. I'm gonna get them.
I'm sure you will.
I'm going to get them.
You don't know how to quit.
Game. Yeah, exactly.
It's a good thing.
You can't teach heart. You can't teach heart, you know? Oh, man. All right, thanks so much. Have a good day.
You got it. Good luck with the tournament. You know, and Patrick's right. You can't teach heart. You know, those businesses that I had spoken to that were out there hiring, that's really what it comes down to. They wanted people with heart. They wanted people with a desire to be at that business, to be in that role, to see their own level of achievement and growth. They didn't care so much about what it is that you knew. They cared a lot more about what it is that you want to know. And that is truly the overriding thought on everything. Every level of any success really has to do with that. That desire for you to understand what it is that you want to achieve and then go out there and find the resources to make that happen. And Patrick was a great example of that with Project Nine Lines. He knew what he wanted to achieve, and then the resources came to him, and they will continue to come to him. And I suggest you become one of those resources. I know I'm going to. You know, go to the website, Project Nine Line. See what's there. See about the programs. Go down, volunteer, help in any way. Attend one of the comedy shows. It's a nice way to support things. You have a great time, you do a lot of laughter, and you understand what other people are going through and help them raise that money and awareness on different things. My name is Brian Cohen. This has been Strategies of Success. Man, help somebody. That is a key to your own strategy of success.